Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to go ahead and start. I mean, it's good stuff, amen. Brother Zach, I don't know. This is probably last minute, but would you happen to have Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44? No? Okay. It's okay. But if you can get that, well, what I would like to do, I'm going to give a little intro, but it's just verses, Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. And I'll just go one after the other. Amen. But what I would like to talk about tonight, and it's part of our series of making room for the harvest. And I just want you to know, and I want us to understand that, just let me know, brother, whenever you get it, okay? Just nod and I got it. I want you to know that God measures faithfulness by sacrifice and not the amount that we give. Jesus, I want you to know, in this story, changes the, whether it's the measuring stick or the standard or the benchmark. And a benchmark is what you measure yourself against, right? To know where you stand. That's a benchmark, right? So Jesus here is trying to show us that his benchmark is different than ours. And so he's redefining the way that we give as Christians. And so in Scripture, I just want you to know, it's like we use the Scripture as a benchmark to measure our beliefs, right? If I believe that when I pray with my eyes open, my eyes closed, well, I feel like I should pray with my eyes closed. Well, how should you base your prayer off of? How you feel, your emotions, or from Scripture? Can anyone answer? Scripture, right? And so when you use the Scripture as a benchmark and you measure yourself against it, you'll find out that sometimes they prayed with their eyes open. Sometimes they prayed standing up. Sometimes they prayed standing down. Sometimes bowing down. Sometimes on the floor, their face. Amen. On the floor. Sometimes with their eyes closed. That, my friends, is the reason why it's so important for us to get into the Scripture of the Word of God, so we don't twist it and we don't try to use it as a weapon to attack other people that don't do church or prayer the way we do, right? Another benchmark would be Jesus, right? Jesus, we measure ourselves against Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what do we find out when we measure, thank you, when we measure ourselves or our life or how we live against Jesus? What do we find out? Anyone? I know, you got to put your thinking caps on tonight. What do you and I find out when we measure our life and how we live against Jesus, when we use him as a benchmark?
We fall short.
But listen, that prevents us from being pharisaical. Did you hear me? That prevents us from being pharisaical, because when you and I compare ourselves, or if we use each other as a benchmark, guess what we'll do? We'll feel better. We inflate our ego. Because some of us are good at maybe reading the Bible. Some of us are better at giving. Some of us are better at teaching. Some of us are better at baptizing. Some of us are better at preaching, or some of us are better at soul winning. But when you compare yourself to Jesus, we all fail, correct? We all fail. This is why it's so important, because we can't judge our spiritual health. It doesn't matter about anybody else. If you're a spouse here tonight, you shouldn't judge your spouse's spiritual health. We got to look inwardly, because that's what Jesus looks at, the heart. And this is what we're talking about. If we want true revival to happen, is it on? If we want true revival to happen, we need to get to a place where we allow the Bible to determine how we live our life. We compare our actions to the Word of God, our feelings to the Word of God, and we no longer live by our heart, following our heart, but we now learn to live life by following the principles of the Word of God. At the same time, how I behave and how I speak, I should
of course, through the scripture, I should compare my life to Jesus. And then what I find out is I fall short. So as a husband that wants to be a godly husband, that's a God-fearing man, and I want to love my wife to the point that she could reach her potential for God, then I need to be the husband to help her accomplish that. Well, how do I do that? Well, I have to judge my spiritual health, not hers, by the Bible. The Bible is our benchmark, and that is what we use to compare our life. Amen? And that's what we use to measure ourselves against the Word of God. And like many of you said, we fall short. Amen? We do fall short. Okay, Mark chapter 12. We're going to go there. We're going to go verse by verse. And we're going to use the scripture. And then I'll get into the 3 points here shortly, okay? I want you to see Mark chapter 12, verse 28. What Jesus does here, he confronts the scribes. He confronts the Pharisees. The hypocrisy of the scribes, okay? Jesus, I want you to see, point something out here. Excuse me. It says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Am I in the right one here? Mark chapter 12.
Oh, 38. Amen. Amen. It's okay. We'll go. How about we use our Bibles? It's okay. That's my fault, okay? Mark chapter 12, verse 38. The Bible says, and he said unto them in his doctrine. Remember, we're talking about Jesus confronting the hypocrisy of the scribes. Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. You follow me? They're walking around in the marketplace, and they're all dressed up with long clothing. I don't know what they wore back then, amen? Whether it was Tommy Hilfiger or Polo, I don't know, amen? I don't know. But I will tell you this. They wore the type of clothing that would catch people's attention. And they wanted to catch people's attention so, you know, they could say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, how you been? Amen? With an intention and a motive. Now, Jesus is saying, and specifically, he's confronting the scribes in verse 38, and he's saying, beware of the scribes. They love to get attention. They love to wear clothing so they can get the salutations or the greetings from people, right? Look what it says in the marketplace, 39. And the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast. Now, this is, it's pretty self-explanatory, but have you been to, a play or an opera or some place where an auditorium, sometimes they have the seats in the high places or if you go to a football game, I'm not that classy. I mean, you go to a football game, you have these nice, what do you call those, box places where you can rent out, amen, baseball game. And it costs a little bit of money, but it's a little bit more comfortable, convenient, right? They serve you food. It's the better places than sitting out with the common folk. Amen? But this is what the scribes did. They wanted this type of attention, but they also wanted this type of treatment. And so Jesus is saying, hey, beware of these people and their intentions. Beware of these people's motives. Look at verse 40. Which devour what? Widows. I want you to see here, they devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater what? Damnation. See, it's very interesting here because Jesus is trying to say, look, they love public attention, right? But what they love to do also is to exploit like the vulnerable people, the widows. Those that are vulnerable in society. You know, in the Jewish society back then, it was tough economically for a widow. But yet these scribes, who are supposed to be spiritual, who are supposed to be followers of God, who are supposed to know the commandments, the laws of Moses, the prophecies of the prophets, right? They're supposed to know all this stuff, yet
The Bible says, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. It's for show. They try to display that they're all holier than thou and super spiritual, but this is what Jesus is pointing at. It's a show. And my friends, can I say something? We'll continue in verse 41. What we're trying to do here at Victory Baptist Church, we're not trying to do a show. Amen? We're not trying to look good on the outside, and there's nothing on the inside. It's like a classic car. It might have a nice paint job, but it's a messed up motor. Amen? It's all show, but no go. That's not what we're trying to do here at Victory Baptist Church. Actually, we're trying to teach these kids to pray. We're trying to teach these kids to learn the Word of God, to pray why, so they can speak to God, to read the Word of God why, so God can speak to them. We're trying to teach these young people, the next generation of Victory Baptist Church, that Christianity is real. That you can live Christianity outside of the walls of this church. You can live Christianity at home. You could be a Christian with your spouse. You could be a Christian father and a Christian mother. Amen? A Christian businessman, a Christian citizen that's in society, and stand for integrity and stand up for what's right. Look at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. Now, what is Jesus doing? He's going right next to where the offering plates are, okay, so to speak, okay? The treasury was actually a specific place in the synagogue that had like 13 trumpet offerings. That's what it was. It was made of that. And so people would come and they would give their offering. So guess what Jesus did? He went to go sit by it. Okay? Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people what? What's the key here? How, not how much. That's deep if you get it. You know what we're trying to teach the kids here? How to give, not how much. Amen. Because that's what God is looking for, the heart. It's not even the amount. See, God is moved when we trust Him with all we've got. We as adults bring a lot of baggage into life, don't we? And we have these preconceived ideas of how church should be, but can I tell you something? Don't lead these young people astray. Amen? With our traditions, with our preconceived ideas. Let's do it the Bible way. Can we do that? Why was Jesus sitting next to the treasury? To see how people gave, how they casted money into the offering, into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in what? What does that mean? Plain and simple. People that had a lot, and not that Jesus was against them, but it didn't hurt them. Why? Because they were what? Was there any sacrifice in that? That's what Jesus wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to have to depend on Him. He wants it to cost you something. And can I tell you something, Victory Baptist Church? This year, we need to show God we're willing to sacrifice. The title of my message tonight is Equal Sacrifice, Not Equal Giving. If we're going to make room for people in the community of White House in the greater Tyler area, we need to have equal sacrifice, not equal giving. That's why I don't tell the kids, oh, you got to give $100. No, if you have a penny, give it. Amen? If you have a dollar, that's why we did this currency. A special offering every month, a different currency. We're going to start off with $1. You say, Pastor, but that's not going to get anything. Man, you don't understand. A young person is giving everything they've got. To us, it might not be much, but that's why we tell you, don't give a dollar. Go ahead and give multiple dollars if you can. Because, see, this is what rich people do. And many that were rich cast in much. But did they cast in all? Let's continue. You say, Pastor, why are you saying all? Because there has to be a sacrifice to move God. If you and I want the favor of God in our life, we have to put something in there. You know, to pay attention, that's why they call pay attention. Right? You have to give. You have to put some skin in the game. Pay attention. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in how many mites? Now, 2 mites. Now, that currency back then, it was almost nothing. Okay? But for the Roman Jews that lived at that time, a farthing, they were just using this measurement as for people at that time, they can understand exactly how much they gave, which makes a farthing, okay? I'm not going to get too in detail into that. But 2 mites are basically almost nothing. Continue. And he called unto him his what? Now, what is Jesus doing here? He's saying, beware of the scribes. These people are always trying to get attention. And when they do get attention, it's because of their clothing and they're just wanting to receive salutations and greetings. They're trying to look good in the public. But what do they do to the widows' houses? They devour them. And they pretend like they care in a showcase or try to display that they're holier than thou. They do these long prayers so people could say, wow, look at him. Look at Pastor. He prayed for 30 minutes. Yeah, while half of the audience was sleeping. Amen. But this is what the Pharisees did. And Jesus is saying, beware of these scribes. And then he's saying, and he went to go and locate himself where they were giving to see how the people gave. And the Bible says that the rich cast in much, right? So he's realizing, hey, there's no sacrifice here. This person's just living very comfortable, very complacent. But what does he do? He saw the widow with 2 mites. And then what does he do? Gets the attention of his disciples because it's a teaching moment. The disciples, just like you and I, probably would have the same perspective. Wow, that person gave $1,000. Wow, that person gave $1,500. Wow, that person gave, I don't know how much they were giving back then. But Jesus didn't care. That didn't catch his attention. Why is that important? Because he never looks at the outward. He's looking at the inward. What is the intention here? What are you giving? Are you giving your all? My babies, I love them to death, but they don't belong to me. You know who they belong to? God. That's why I'm raising them. To follow God, not me. I love my wife, but that's why I'm raising her. No, I'm kidding. I love my wife. Amen. I love my wife. But at the end of the day, I love God more. And because I love God more, I want to be the type of husband and leader in the household that she can follow, that she can respect. But I got to have these godly attributes in my life, right, in order for her to do that. I know she's commanded to do certain things, but I tell you this much. God is looking at the inward, at the heart. And this is a teaching moment where many of us miss this. But Jesus didn't want his disciples to miss it. He says, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor, she's in what? If she's poor, she's in what? Poverty. Amen. That this poor widow hath cast what? Now, in earth math, this is impossible, okay? The math that we use here on earth is impossible. But when it comes to heaven's economics, it's not. Why? How in the world, it doesn't add up physically. How in the world did this woman give more than the rich? She actually trusted him with everything. Than all they which have cast into the treasury. You know, the building initiative, giving your tithes, giving your offerings, that's a commandment, right? The building initiative and missions, that's, you know, missions by faith promise, and giving to the building initiative is something you have to believe in. Do you believe that our church should accommodate the people and the growing, you know, congregation that we have? Do you really believe in this church? Here's the thing I'm going to tell you. If you want God's ear, Stop worrying about how we're going to pay for the building. Now, I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not going to be a pastor that's going to be foolish. Amen. But I will tell you this. Why don't you stop worrying about how much and start trusting him with everything? Now, please, don't give me your paycheck or, you know. Pastor told me. No, pastor didn't tell you anything. What pastor's saying is pray and talk to God. If you want God to move in your life, believe it or not, it has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. Why is it that our finances somehow, I think they're connected to our heart, I don't know how, invisibly, but there's a cord there to our wallet somehow. Why is it that we always do this number? And we decide to give God our leftovers. I'm going to tell you why. We don't trust him. It's a heart issue. This is how this woman, who didn't have much, she was poor. This is how many people that don't have much give the most in church. This is how. This is how my home church was built. This is how. You can look at it now, the end result. Some of you might say, well, that's just a rich church. No, it's hardworking people just like you. You know what? I will tell you even this much. I'll go this far. In the area that that church was in, it was a lot, we were a lot more in poverty, or it was a lot more poor than this area here. But how can they build something like that? It's not because they were rich. It's because they trusted. Continue, verse 44. For all they did cast in of their what? It didn't hurt them. It might have hurt that widow lady to give 1,000 mites, but it didn't hurt them to just drop 1,000. It didn't hurt. Because they gave out of their what? Abundance. But she, of her what? Did cast in all that she had. Even all her what? Man, my friends, I'm going to tell you this. I like this passage because I realize that when it comes to giving in God's kingdom, you and I need to understand this. If you're poor, it doesn't exempt you from obeying. This lady was poor. She was so poor, she was broke. She was so broke that if somebody stole from her, all you would be doing is practicing. That's how broke she was. Amen? But what I also notice about here in God's kingdom is this, that sacrifice outweighs surplus. Think about what I just said. Sacrifice outweighs surplus, abundance, in God's kingdom. Remember, Jesus is sitting there to see how they what? Cast in, how they give. Not how much. It's not about the amount, my friends. Church, we need to equally sacrifice, not to equally give an amount. You follow me? Some people will be able to give more. And praise the Lord for those people. Some people will not. Amen? But what we all need to be in accord, where we all need to be united, is understanding we need to equally sacrifice. It has to make a difference. That means you have to sacrifice your Starbucks every day. Oh, no, Pastor, not my Starbucks. I know, it's an addiction. Amen? That means you have to sacrifice your Mexico Lindo sometimes. Amen? Now we're getting in territory that's forbidden. Amen? Your, what do they call it? The Lord's Chicken. It's not the Lord's Chicken, that thing. Amen? Chick-fil-A. Amen? It's not the Lord's Chicken. That's not the Lord's Chicken, amen? I will tell you this, amen? You're going to have to sacrifice some of that. It has to mean something. It has to. It has to get to a point, or you have to get a point in your life where you're going to say, you know what, some of this is extra, and for a month or so, or maybe for a while, guess what I'm not going to be able to do? This extra. But you know what we do? Like the Pharisees? Like the scribes, you know what we do? We put self first. And that's okay, man. Listen, I'm not a hater. Man, if you invite me to go eat, I promise you I'll go eat with you. Amen? I promise you. Amen? I'm not a hater, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. Sometimes you and I have to realize what's more important in the kingdom of God. And also, we have to understand what our limitations are. Just because we don't have, it doesn't give us an excuse not to obey. But also, in the kingdom of God, remember, it's not about the amount. It's not about the surplus. It's about the sacrifice. You and I can all sacrifice something. Amen? It's called Netflix. You can sacrifice that. Sorry. It's called Disney. Man, ESPN. You got to sacrifice something. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lizzie. Continue. Oh, that was it, right? That was it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want you to understand, God is not moved by what we keep. God is moved by what we trust Him with. If you keep it, that's all it's going to accomplish. Here's my first point. You say, Pastor, you're not done? No, I'm just getting started. Amen. Oh, I only have 4 minutes. Praise the Lord. I'm done then. Amen. God watches the heart, not the number. God watches the heart, not the number. And He called unto Him His disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Next verse, 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his what? Outward appearance, right? Countenance. Or on the what? Don't look at his outward appearance. Because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as what? For man looketh on the. But the Lord looketh on the. In the Old Testament we find it. He said, Pastor, it's not about giving, but the Bible doesn't contradict itself, does it? What does God look at? The heart. God watches the heart, not the number. So if you say, I can't give, you're lying. Is that safe to say? Now, if you say, well, I can't give as much as Brother Garrett, we're not all millionaires. Amen? I get that. Don't choke, brother. I get that. If we can't all give the same amount, that's not what this is about. What is this about? Your heart. Does God have your heart? Heaven, thank God, doesn't use a calculator. You know what it does? It examines our hearts. God's never going to compare like your gift with someone else's capacity, even though here, because of the scribes, he was pointing out the hypocrisy, right? But that's not what he's doing. He just wants us to trust him, to be obedient. He's going to compare your obedience with your faith. Pastor, I can only give $5. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of us can't give as much as others, and that's okay. But nobody has to know that. That's between you and who? Guess what these babies need to learn? The same truth. They need to learn to trust in God. And you say, Pastor, why are you saying with all their heart? We're talking about currency. Can I tell you? A lot of these kids know that currency buys candy. Amen? Currency buys sweets. Amen? Currency buys them gifts. Amen? Buys them Christmas. I know Christmas is not about gifts. But this is what kids equate with, and this is what they see. But if you can say, no, God gave us this because we're like a conduit of His blessings. God gives us so we can give. And then He gives us more so we can what? Give more. Are we going to be able to take any of this with us? No. So might as well invest it. Second point. Oh, I'm doing good. Second point. Sacrifice is what makes the gift spiritual. It is. This is an interesting one. Remember David? They were trying to give him. Let's read. And the king. This is 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. And the king said unto Arunna, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for what? 50 shekels of silver. David here, and this is a truth that we need to understand about worshiping God. David was offered everything for free, the land, the oxen, the wood. But you know what David did? He refused. Now, why do you think he refused, Ms. Shante? I'm glad you answered that, because this is important. This is very important, amen? Worship without sacrifice becomes routine. It doesn't, you didn't earn anything. You don't see the value in it. It's almost like these kids that everything's handed to them and given to them. What kind of spirit do they get? Entitled. Ungrateful. Even to the point where they sometimes break the parents' hearts. Because they don't understand the value of hard work. And my friends, can I tell you something? That if worship costs nothing, and you know what that means? Nothing. If it didn't cost you to come to church, it doesn't mean much. What do you mean? I mean, some of y'all could have been working extra hours, right? Could have made overtime. It cost you. Some of you could have been out driving around somewhere else, but you decided to come here. Guess what? It cost you. What you and I need to get into the habit is this. We need to give with sacrifice so we don't create this religious habit in our lives. And Luke 21:4 reinforces that. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might what? Betray him unto them. Who is this talking about? Judas. Judas. You have to understand that Judas, man, that was an interesting, man, I don't want to, this is a squirrel, so I'm not going to go after it and chase it. But remember when it's the Last Supper, and I don't have the scripture for it, and then he says, one of you will betray me? You know what everyone asked Jesus? Is it I what? Master. Master. Oh, no. Is it I, Lord? You know what Judas said? He said, is it I, Rabbi? Teacher. It didn't mean nothing to him to betray the Messiah. It didn't mean nothing to him. And guess what? Those 30 pieces of silver didn't mean anything. I just want you to understand that there's truth in sacrifice. It's like a divine line between generosity and faith. Sacrifice says, God is my source. I'm trusting in Him. Amen? I'm trusting in God. God, I'm trusting in your security. I'm trusting. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to build this. I don't know how you're going to grow the church. I don't know how you're going to grow. Amen? Something in our lives. But it's saying this, God, you're worthy. I'm willing to sacrifice because you're worthy, God. Here's the third point. God honors united obedience. Exodus chapter 35, verse 21. This is when Moses asked for the children of Israel to give and bring offerings. I love this because he didn't have what we have. Amen. Special offering Sunday. Amen. The people just gave. Can I tell you something? Most of the time, we're able to do things, but you know where it's at? Where the resources are at? In our pockets. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Does it say Moses preached to them? Does it say Moses let them know of a process or a way of giving? No. And everyone whom his spirit made willing, these people were what? A willing spirit, a willing attitude. And they brought the Lord's offering to the what? Work of the tabernacle, which is before the synagogues, right? The church of the congregation. And for all his service, and for the holy what? People were giving for the holy service. People were willing to bring their offerings to the Lord. In Exodus 35, Moses never pressured the people. He didn't say a certain amount. He didn't say a certain quota. He didn't say we need to raise $1 million. He didn't even manipulate the people. What does the Bible say? Their hearts were stirred. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. They had a spirit that was willing. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. You have that? And all that believed were together and had all things common. They were united. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had what? Need. Verse 45. Oh, this is it. Verse 45. I want you to see that the early church had the same pattern that the people of Israel had during Moses' time. You say, Pastor, what is that? They were united. They were united in producing. They were united in giving. They were united in sacrifice. Equal sacrifice does not mean equal giving. It's right there. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had what? Need. They didn't all have the same things. But I will tell you what they all did. They all sacrificed. It means everyone responded to God personally. Pastor, you want me to sell my boat? No, I don't. Listen, here, let me put this disclaimer. Pastor does not need any of your money. By the way, money that comes in here is not pastor's money. It's the church's money. Amen? Let's get that straight, okay? If you ever have this mindset of, well, I don't tithe because I don't want him to have it. My friends, you're tithing and giving for the wrong reason. Amen? It's not my money, and I don't want that curse. Okay? I don't want that curse. Well, you need to understand it's this. It's not your money either. God just is requiring for us to give it his part, right? The 10%. That's his, right? What we're talking about here is that above the 10%. What we're talking about is above that faith promise, above the missions, above the offering. That's how we're going to build this thing. That's how we're going to be able to pay for this thing. When everyone obeys, guess what God does? He supplies. The miracle is not in the amount. When God brings the miracle, it's in the agreement of God's people. It's not in the amount of what God's people give. Unity releases that blessing. It unlocks provision, but you have to be willing. You say, Pastor, how does the church grow? Not through pressure. And that's not what this is. It's through the willingness and the spirit of God's people. I want us to understand that when we participate in giving, it's us saying, God, I'm willing to trust you that what you're going to do here is something great. I'm willing to trust you with this gift. I know it might be only a dollar. I don't know. I know it might be only 10. It might be only 100. Whatever it is. But let me ask you something. Don't you want to see God do a miracle in your life? I really believe Victory Baptist Church is that miracle for many of our lives. I know for my family it was. It was a calling. And look what he's done with our church. It's been a blessing. For some of you, you needed this church. Maybe to grow in your faith. Maybe to strengthen your marriage. Maybe to help your family. I'm not sure. But I believe that Victory Baptist Church is here for a reason. I'm just being honest with you. I just want us to all be in agreement and say, God, do a miracle here at Victory Baptist Church. Let's see what he can do. Amen? It's not about the amount you give. It's about, are you willing? Bow your head. Close your eyes. Tonight, the title of the message is Equal Sacrifice.